How do you do? Anyone's self-confidence can be undermined by criticism, real or perceived, even good-natured teasing. The man in this story grew up with peer condemnation that led to feelings of inferiority, prompting him to take risks to prove himself. Not anymore. Not since his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, the award-winning series of true life stories, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. People who've lost their jobs, their homes, and their families often believe there is no way to regain those things, no way to change their dismal future. But there is a way, and Pacific Garden Mission provides the means to that way. The mission provides lodging, food, and fresh clothing to those who've lost their way. Moreover, mission pastors and counselors introduce each guest to the person whose name is above all names, someone who is the way, the truth, and the life. Meeting him makes all the difference. And that's what this program proclaims, going out to the world in 13 languages. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3181 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
You boys get up here right now and sit on the front seat where I can keep an eye on you. I told you to stop fighting, and I mean it. Get up here now. Hello? Yes, I made him sit in the front of the bus because he was fighting with another boy. I warned him, and he didn't listen. I disciplined the other boy, too. Ma'am, I can't drive the bus when kids are fighting, and I always report misbehavior to the principal. Thank you for calling.
An angry parent?
Yes, and my, what language.
Those boys cursed me and called me names because you made them sit up front in the bus, Mom.
Let me tell you something, Lane. You don't need to fight with other people. You can always turn the other cheek. When you're wrong, admit it and move on. Don't dwell on it. But if you're right, stand your ground and don't ever back down.
The man in our story was an adolescent then, fighting an inferiority complex. But other seeds were sown that bore good fruit. That's what this story is about, the transformation of Lane Turner. This is his true testimony right now on Unshackled.
Both Mom and Dad drove a school bus to supplement their income from the family farm in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I was the middle of three boys, and we all helped with chores. I learned about carpentry from my dad's father and grandfather, who were carpenters. I learned about working in the world by working in the store and pumping gas in my maternal grandparents' gas station. And I learned about humor from my mom and her mother, both of whom enjoyed life, even when people came in the gas station and teased them. But Mom was serious about some things.
You boys, get ready for church.
Oh, Ma, can we stay home today?
Yeah, we can help Dad gather eggs.
He doesn't need your help. I'm going to raise my boys in the ways of the Lord, and if you go bad, there's nobody to blame but yourselves.
When we were little, Mom took us to vacation Bible school and welcomed any other child who wanted to go with us. But the boys who were bad on the bus never went to church, and they made fun of me because we went to church every week. I was sensitive to their ridicule and scared of them because they were mean. When they bullied me, I told my older brother, and they let me alone after he talked to him. In our family, being honest was as important as standing your ground.
I gave that principal a piece of my mind today.
What for?
He punished Lane for telling the truth about skipping school, and he never punishes the boys who are rebels. Keep telling the truth, Lane. No matter what, when you leave this world, you take nothing with you but your good name and your righteous acts.
I was humorous and outgoing in middle school and played basketball. My older brother was more competitive than I, and he played football and ran track in high school. Some of my basketball teammates made me feel like I wasn't in their league. They talked about me behind my back, which hurt more than what they said to my face.
Are you playing basketball tonight, Lane?
Yes, but don't waste your time coming to the game, Dad.
Huh?
The season's about over, and I sit on the bench a lot anyway, so there isn't much to see. In fact, last time they put me in the game, our fans booed.
Well, that's because the coach took out the star player, Lane, not because you replaced him.
You always look on the bright side, Lee.
Well, why not? Listen, a track team needs somebody to run the 880. Why don't you do it?
I don't have any track shoes.
You can use my old shoes.
They're falling apart.
We can fix the soles with shoestrings.
Well, twice around the track? I'm not sure I can do that.
Well, coach thinks you can do it, and so do I. Remember the Bible verse I gave you? It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
When I got to the starting line, the competing kids laughed at my shoes. But as the starting gun cracked, I took off like Secretariat, and with my brother pacing me, I won the race. I also won the next two races. I carried that Bible verse in my wallet from then on. But that was the only year I ran track. I had no confidence without my brother. In my junior year of high school, I became very sick with excruciating pain in my side. Mom took me to the doctor who sent me to the hospital, where I had surgery for appendicitis. I lay there a couple days.
Hey, folks couldn't come, so they sent me to check in on you.
Oh, great. Now I'll really be sick.
So when are you going to stop malingering and come on home?
The nurse said I could go home as soon as my temperature drops.
Well, drink some ice water.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Well, I can't stay long, Lane. Listen, I'm going to hunt relics with Benny.
Wish I could go. I'm sick of being stuck here.
Hey, you'll be home rounding up the cows soon enough. You just enjoy yourself.
As I lay there, I realized that the world would go on without me if I died. I felt so insignificant, so unimportant. Having to make up all that schoolwork didn't improve my outlook. And then at the end of my junior year, my paternal grandfather died. The preacher's words at Grandpa's funeral affected me deeply.
We know that faith without works is dead. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. See, what you do in this life can make a difference for others. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, Lloyd was a carpenter, and even though he's gone, we'll remember the good works he left behind. He put up the paneling in the sanctuary with his own hands, and that paneling will be there for us to remember him by in the years to come.
At that moment, I knew that I wanted to be carpenter. I didn't want to go through life without leaving a trace. I wanted to leave something behind so that people would remember me. I tried to share that with Benny, a guy who helped us sort eggs at home.
Yeah, that makes three cases.
Three? I haven't even packed one. How'd you do it, Benny?
You gotta be a hustler, Lane, especially if you're paid by the job.
I wouldn't do this job forever.
Well, what do you have in mind?
Being a carpenter like Grandpa. Remember that gate I built a few years ago? He taught me how to brace it, and it's strong.
Well, you can't make a living building gates.
No, but I could do construction, build houses. I like to work outdoors.
Me? I like to hunt for buried treasure.
You ever find anything valuable?
Sleuths of stuff.
Hey, listen, Benny. Would you do something for me and not tell my family?
Like what?
Well, I'm too young to buy liquor. Would you buy me some? I'll give you the money from what I earn pumping gas.
Sure I will.
I liked to drink socially. It kept me in a humorous mood. Because I earned a letter in basketball, I was allowed to work the concession stand at football games my senior year. So I took a pint of liquor with me to every game. I liked the thrill of not getting caught. In many days, I skipped school with a friend and we drank his dad's liquor. If I'd been caught drinking, I'd been expelled. But I graduated, and got a job in construction even though the economy was bad in the mid-70s. Once in a while, I went treasure hunting with my brother, looking for buried Civil War relics.
Careful, Lane. This right here is the place where Benny found some relics last week.
You sure?
Yeah. He said he found Sluice's stuff in this area right here.
He always says that. But he never tells you exactly what he found or where he hit the jackpot.
Well, why should he? Then everybody else would stampede through here and get the treasure for themselves.
I'd love to find just one coin or bullet or even a button from a Civil War uniform.
Be patient. You will if you look around. You use your stick to poke the leaves away.
You like that new pastor?
Yeah, he's all right.
I think he's arrogant. Always saying amen.
Well, that's just a mannerism, Lane.
I remember when the old pastor talked about Gideon's army, how God wanted him to choose men who drank water cupped in their hands, not like dogs lapping from the stream.
Yeah, so they could be aware of what was happening around them. I remember that too. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. You reckon God's still looking for men like that?
I don't know, but I think today they're all hypocrites. I'm going to quit going to church.
Oh, what? Mom won't like that.
I don't care. I've had enough of church. Enough of school, too. I'm going to do what I like for a change.
We'll hear more about Lane Turner in just a moment. One of the many languages in which Unshackled is broadcast is Spanish, translated Desencadenados. Throughout South and Central America, these stories go out to encourage listeners. Visit our website, unshackled.org, and click on Radio Log, and you'll find a complete list of the countries and stations that carry this program. You can also listen online to many programs in Spanish. Here are a few excerpts of emails from listeners. From Peru, this person writes, "Thank you for telling such beautiful stories. They give me strength to keep on fighting." A student of medicine from Honduras writes, "I hear your program every afternoon, and it's been a blessing to me. Thank you for sharing the Word of God with us." This man writes, "A lot of the stories of life came to my heart. Even though I accepted Christ in my heart, I sometimes feel so alone in this world." For more information about this ministry, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
Hey, Lane. Haven't seen you in a while.
Benny! Sit down and have a drink, old buddy.
Well, sure. So, where you been hiding?
Friend and I have been hanging out at the local college. There's always a party going on with a keg of beer. Free drinks, man.
Well, who do you know in college?
Nobody. We wait till they get half drunk and they don't even know we're there.
You old reprobate, you.
Hey, speaking of rascals, you see those guys at the table over there?
Yeah, what about them?
They used to ride Mom's bus and make her life miserable. Mine too, for that matter. Called me names because we went to church.
You still go to church?
No. I haven't darkened the doors in more than 3 years, and I'm never going back. Here I am. Guess I'm one of them now. The next morning, I thought about that, how I was in the same camp as guys who once tormented me. Now it was guilt that tormented me, but not for long. I just didn't care. I only cared that I wasn't married. All my friends were settling down, getting married, but I hadn't. I'd always been shy around girls, thinking I wasn't good enough for them. Except for girls, I was quite a risk taker, riding motorcycles. My friends and I rode on a full moonlit night. And sometimes, when we thought the guy in front wasn't paying attention, the guy behind would cut off his headlights, get a good run, and pass the leader as fast and as close as possible, scaring the guy in front because he didn't see him coming. We raced each other a lot, and I loved to do wheelies.
I
I don't know why you risk your neck on that thing.
It's fun, Mom.
There's more to life than fun, Lane. You'll be 30 this year.
Yep.
Same age as Jesus when he started his public ministry.
Reckon you're right.
About time you got married, don't you think?
I'm taking applications.
You're too picky.
Well, none of them measure up to you, Mom.
Humbug. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord.
No woman in her right mind would marry me, Mom. I lacked confidence and didn't know how to give women a chance. One night at a party, I was offered hash. I'd tried pot, but it didn't do much for me, so I figured nothing lost by trying hash. I'd already drunk a six-pack of beer, and the combination hit me so hard, I don't know how I drove home that night. The road seemed to twist and heave from side to side. I hadn't thought of God for years, but I promised him that I would never smoke that stuff again if he got me home safely. I never used hash again. I turned 33 and realized I'd live as long on the earth as Jesus Christ. If I died, no one would even remember my name. Except for family, no one would care. I eased back on my party lifestyle and tried to stay out of trouble so I could do something with my life. Hello?
I hear you're going to start your own construction company.
Yeah. I've always heard that idle hands are the devil's workshop, so I thought I'd keep mine busy.
Well, there's plenty of work around here, that's for sure. You know, I got a friend who's looking for somebody to redo his kitchen. Why don't you put in a bid, Lane?
Well, I will. I already hired a guy to help me. I don't know why. I don't have any work for him yet.
That's called faith, Lane. Now, remember, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
I ought to remember. I carried that verse in my wallet till it fell apart.
Yeah, it won't fall apart if you carry it in your heart. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith.
I hired a second employee and bid on my first job. Although I cut the price to the bone, we didn't get the job, and I was bitter and angry. But I tried not to show it because nobody likes a grumpy person. So I used humor to camouflage my pain.
Did my friend tell you why you didn't get the job?
Well, he said it was because he had worked with the other contractor before and felt comfortable with him.
Well, he told me it was because he felt you didn't have enough confidence in your ability to do the work.
So much for honesty. Guess he didn't think I could take the truth either.
He was just trying to spare your feelings, Lane.
Well, who says I have feelings?
Lane, you're a hard worker, and you know construction. I told him that you've been doing construction for 16 years, and you could do the job. Show more confidence, and you'll get more work.
I knew he was right, but how do you show what you don't feel inside? Besides, I never did like arrogant people, and I didn't know the difference between arrogance and confidence. My insecurities held me back, and I barely made the mortgage payment when winter came until I got a job putting in insulation. The years passed, and I turned 40. Suddenly, I realized I was now middle-aged. If I lived to be 80, then my life was already half over. I began to wonder, is this life all there is? Or could there really be something else after death? Most guys in construction are rough and hard, but I worked with one man who never swore and was always happy. One day I happened upon him kneeling with a man whose wife had left him. I said nothing, but thought the prayer inappropriate at a work site. A few months later, when the man committed suicide, my coworker remained upbeat. I wondered how he could be optimistic, but he was. One day we worked on a vent together.
I appreciate your help with this, Lane.
You're more dexterous than most men, Bill.
A gift from the Lord. I like to work with my hands.
Well, I love working outdoors on construction. You start with a pile of lumber and finish with a house. And every day you see progress.
Just like I walk with the Lord.
Yeah. I am a work in progress, all right.
We're all a work in progress. And God never gives up on us.
He never started on me. Took one look and said, no way.
A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He's the master builder. able to reclaim any life.
That's why I went into construction, to leave something behind, something to be remembered by.
Then let the Lord help you. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
I knew there was something different about you, always smiling and happy.
I owe it all to Jesus Christ. He died for my sins and rose from the dead so I could go to heaven someday. He saved me and gave me eternal life, and he'll save you too, Lane. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Ask Jesus to come into your life, Lane.
I know you're right because I went to church as a kid. My parents are Christians, but I'm just not ready for that yet. Some people had invited me to church in recent years, and I'd been thinking about going back, but I hadn't stepped inside a church for 20 years, and I wondered, would they welcome me or would I be criticized? I had a general feeling of guilt or shame to be in the presence of God. Then in May of 2000, a woman at a convenience store asked me if I was a Christian, and I said yes to please her. That was a lie. How could I be a Christian? I hadn't been to church in 20 years. That week, my aunt invited me to hear a cousin preach in a church nearby. I didn't want to go, but being a people pleaser, I told her I would go. What a day that was.
Hello?
Hey, Lee. You'll never believe it, but I went to church today.
Well, good for you.
I went to hear Cousin Bill preach.
How was he?
Okay, I guess. But I spent the whole service watching a guy who's the biggest druggie in town. I couldn't believe that he was there. I kept wondering what in the world he was doing there.
Well, he's probably saved, Lane.
I couldn't believe it. Knocked me off my feet, seeing them there saying amen and singing hymns.
Well, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Church no longer intimidated me. If that drug addict could be there, so could I. After that, I tried a different church, and then a third one.
Let's go down the Romans road. Mm-hmm. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." See, nobody lives up to God's standard. But the next verse says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." It's God's grace that saves you. Grace alone, my friend, not works. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Even the faith to believe comes from God. If you could save yourself, you'd run around telling everybody, "Look what I did." Instead, you have to say, "Look what Jesus did for me." Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." So God gives you the faith to believe as you hear the gospel. It's like stepping out of an airplane with a parachute. You have faith that the chute will open. In like manner, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 promise that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Maybe I'd heard the gospel in church when I was growing up and the words just rolled off my self-filled heart. Or maybe my heart was finally satiated with itself and the world's futility. But God's word became a lifeline to me, and I returned week after week to listen, following along in the Bible I carried. In October, when the pastor gave the invitation to receive Christ, I was convicted.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
I slid down on my knees and prayed. Others were praying out loud, and I had a hard time concentrating on my own prayer. But I made a commitment to Christ that day. A commitment I never regretted, but one that would grow deeper, though I didn't realize it at the time.
Praise God, Lane, I've prayed for you.
The people at that church are on fire for the Lord, Mom. I've never seen anything like it.
Good. You'll have to talk with your cousin Angela.
What about?
She has terminal cancer, and she needs the Lord, too.
Well, I'm not sure what to say, but I'll go visit and tell her about Jesus.
Just tell her how the Lord saved you.
Think of it, Mom. Maybe now I'll find a wife who'll have me. I still had so many issues that I kept to myself, so many fears. I had taken the first step toward a new life in Christ, surrendered to the Lord.
Next week, we'll hear about that surrender and the victory that followed. That victory is for you, listening friend, when you put your trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 declare God's promise. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The greatest gift is forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal life. Have you reached out and taken God's gift? Simply repent of your sins and ask him to save you because of Christ's sacrifice. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. Unshackled does such a great job testifying of the grace of God, a listener emailed us. Please share your insights with the manager of this radio station so they'll keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3181. Heard in the true story of Lane Turner, Part 1, were Howard Friedland, Peggy Roeder, Rick Plastina, Jamie Barron, and Michael Wolner. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nadine Aloisio. Engineer, Don Badorf. Script, Kenitha Gabler. I'm Kim Rasmussen. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Take a moment to let us know you listen. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.